We're going to go for it, okay? Does that sound good with everybody? Amen. We may get in some just some prayer and some intercession. I got part of when I was spending some time. Go ahead and turn in your Bible to Romans 6. I don't know if we're going to. I keep saying I'm going to teach this concerning baptism. And because to me, this is the heart of baptism is Romans 6. But I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I'm going to do any teaching out of it or not. But we'll go ahead and turn there. It'll make you feel better. Say, man, I've been at church anyway. I want you guys to be praying something. Wasn't this weekend good? Everybody enjoy this weekend? That was very good, very powerful. Just a great time. I enjoyed coming out here on Saturday night and having church on Saturday night. Didn't y'all like that? That was different for us. We don't do stuff like that. And, you know, we kind of got our set routine. But I enjoyed coming out here on Saturday night and having church and worshiping and all of that. So I'm looking forward to some more of that stuff. Talking with Brother Damon right now, and I told him, I was like, man, I just feel like it's time. So he and I are praying about when would be a good time for him to come down. And I said, man, I'd like for you to come down sooner than later, and let's do a Saturday night and a Sunday morning, and then just see what happens out of that. We've seen that turn into 6 weeks of revival, and we've seen it just be an awesome weekend, and let that be that. But so y'all just be praying about the timing on that. I would like to pull something together at least by the start of the school year for the kids and just launch into that with just a real strong move of God. We ended the school year in the high schools on a real strong note. God was moving and stirring, and we were seeing kids getting saved and lives changed and really on fire. I know the Harrelson County FCA went from about 15 to 75 in about a 3-month time span. And a lot of these kids are still coming here on Sunday mornings and some on Wednesday nights, and God's doing some good stuff in them. And of course, a lot of our kids, man, I look up at a lot of our kids, and I don't mean to differentiate our kids and county kids and all that stuff, but some of our kids that have been here a long time, you know, the Isaac Cranes and the Noahs and all of those guys, you know, but I just really see God stirring and doing something and moving them. I feel like this year, I'm just going, are y'all cool if I just talk for a few minutes? Everybody good with that? I really, like I'm asking permission, you know. I really feel like we're going to see this school year starting this fall. I really feel like what we saw at the end of last year was kind of a first fruits. And I really feel like we're going to see something awesome happen in our schools this year. And I feel like that there's going to be a connecting and a coming together of where it's not. You know, when I came through school, I hated Bremen. I'll go ahead and tell you. We thought Bremen was a bunch of rich punks, and they thought we were a bunch of redneck hillbillies. You know, and it was a mutual, we hated each other thing. And God has to break down, you know, Pauling County wasn't even on the map for us, you know. It was that thing. But we just had that animosity toward each other, and there's still a lot of you know, rivalry, and the enemy likes to build up walls and all of that stuff. And so I really feel like God's going to do some tearing down some walls and stuff. We're planning an evening over at our house. We're working with Tyler and Nick on dates and everything. Just kind of let you, it's going to be in August where we're having the FCAs from the schools, which encompass a bunch of our kids, they're coming over to our house, and we're just going to have a time of, you know, man, hang out and have a pool party, and we're going to cook on the grills and all of that stuff. But then we're going to, if you've ever been to our house, we've got that basketball court up above the pool area and all of that with some lights and all of that stuff. And we're going to set up full-blown with generators, praise and worship and all of that. And we're going to have some serious, we're going to have fun for a few hours in the afternoon, but then we're going to go after God that night. And I can just see people getting saved. I can see us having baptism service in our swimming pool that that night and stuff like that, and kids just getting saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, the kind of services that you get in trouble with the church for because y'all let that happen and everything. But I'm ready to do some of that. I'm ready to trouble some waters. Amen. Anytime God moves, it troubles the religious establishment. And so that's just something that we're planning in August. But I'm real excited what I feel like God's about to do with our youth, with our teenagers, and in the high schools. And I think it's really going to spread like wildfire. And so y'all just be in agreement with us on that, and y'all come in and y'all sow into that, whatever that looks like. Y'all sow into that, and let's just be a resource and an encouragement. And a help for what God wants to do in the young people. Okay, amen. All right, let's pray together, and then we'll go in, and I want to talk about baptism and share some stuff that the Lord spoke to me this afternoon. Let's just stand to our feet if we will. Let's stand to our feet. I am convinced of one thing now more so than I have at any point in my life, and that is the answer to everything is more presence. Okay? The answer to everything is more presence. The answer to the issues in your life is more presence. When I've been in His presence, I mean His absolute presence, sin was not a big issue. Sin was not an issue when I've been in His presence. Sin was not an issue. When I've been in His presence, worry was not an issue. When I've been in His presence, all of the attributes of Him, they come flooding into me and through me and all of that stuff. And I'm convinced on a personal basis that more presence is the answer to everything. I don't know about you guys, but I've just been, you've got to be living in a cave not to just be really heightened awareness of all the stuff that's going on in our world. I mean, you can't flip on the internet and look at any news agency on our internet on any given day without seeing some type of tragedy happening on our planet. Chaos. I'm not talking about the floods in West Virginia. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the suicide bombs and the machine guns in the Istanbul airport. I'm talking about the shooting at the nightclub in Orlando. I'm talking about just the chaos that is ruling in our world right now. I really feel like what is fueling that is that there is such a large segment of the world population that does not know Christ and does not have the presence manifesting in their life, and that void in there is what is releasing the chaos and all of that, because there is no peace, there's no hope, there's no stability, there's nothing. All of these things that the presence of God brings into our lives, that is void in the majority of all of this stuff is fueled by. You say, well, it's demonic activity. Yeah, but what's darkness? It's the absence of light. Okay? And so I just really, this afternoon, I really felt burdened for us just to begin to cry out for a release of the Holy Spirit globally. Okay? What we tend to do, have y'all ever noticed how narcissistic y'all's prayers are? Have y'all ever paid attention to that? Think about your prayers for a minute. What do your prayers usually look like? I, me, what's going on in my life, what's going on in the immediate little circle around me, and all of that stuff. And one thing that I found is our prayers are amazingly narcissistic. If yours are not, you're the exception. Because most of us get consumed with what's going on in our little world, in the scope of our little world. And I don't mean to minimize our little world, because my world is significant. But on the big picture of things, it's not as massive as I tend to think it is. Okay? And so what God wants us to do is to begin to reach out and begin to release and get outside the scope of what's happening in me. What's going on in my life and what's going on. You say, well, that's the most important thing to me. I'm not trying to minimize the importance of that. But what I'm trying to say is there's a world that desperately needs a release of the presence of God in it. There's a world that desperately, I mean, Grant, you're going over to Dubai in a few months, and you're going to be over there for a couple years and just doing some awesome mission work and all that. That whole region in there is desperate and is crying out. All of this stuff and the chaos, that is the creation of God crying out for a king to sit on the throne. They're misguided and misinformed and all of that stuff. But that's what it is creation is crying out for the king to be enthroned. You say, well, Jesus is in the throne, but not experientially in their lives. Not sovereignly in their lives. And that's what all this chaos is. How many times have you seen a kid, a young kid that had a crappy home life and all of that, and all the chaos that went with that was because there was no stability in their home life. So all of these things begin to manifest as a need for attention, as a need for significance and all that. That's what's going on. That's why so many of these people, I'm sorry y'all are still standing up, but it's okay. That's why all of these people that are coming in with the ISIS and all of this stuff, you know, that's why people are latching on to it, because they want a cause to identify themselves. You know, I'm going to go blow myself up, but I'm identified as this warrior and all that stuff. They're the little kid that's got the crappy home life that's crying for significance. So bad behavior is trying to bring significance into their life. And I really feel like that the Holy Spirit just spoke something to me today and said, all of the chaos in the world is a world crying out for significance. It is a world crying out for a king to be enthroned. And what we need to do as a body is to release the kingdom and pray, thy kingdom come. Pray, Holy Spirit, just release into the earth and his revival begins to spread, because in the midst of the chaos, I'm seeing more revival right now than I've ever seen in my life. And I've been around church stuff and kingdom stuff for about 30 years now, right? Nearly 30 years. And the world is more jacked up right now than I've ever seen it, but I also see more hope right now because I'm seeing more revival taking place than I've ever seen right now, Kenny. You know, everybody, you know, just all the prophetic stuff about California is down because of all of this, and it's going to fall off into the ocean. And I totally dig what God's doing in California right now. I've been out there twice in the last 2 months, and it's just, man, I've fallen in love, not with the state because I want to go vacation there or live there, but I've fallen in love with what God's doing, and it's God's grace just reaching out and touching a city and touching a people and saying, I want to do something. I want to be enthroned. Okay, I want to be enthroned. So as we pray, let's just begin to do that. I want us to take a few minutes. Obviously, we want to ask Holy Spirit, just move in this house and move in here tonight and stir in us. Open up my heart and my life and all that. But let's just begin to pray and just cry out for a release, okay? Of the Spirit, not just in here, but globally, that He would be enthroned on the earth. Because creation is crying out for that, all right? Can y'all join with me on that? Everybody good with that? I know we're a little bit different tonight, but that's all right. I'm going to get where we just start going after God. And if that looks like an hour and a half of teaching, then great. And if it looks like 15 minutes of teaching and an hour and a half of worship, that's awesome too. But let's just begin to do that. Let's just... y'all just join with me. Father, just go ahead and pray out loud. Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we love you and we lift you up. And we thank you for the opportunity to gather together corporately, Father. The opportunity to come together with a community of believers, Lord. And we just thank you for that. I thank you for every man and woman that is in this house tonight that has come together to meet you here. And I celebrate that, Father. I celebrate the baptisms that are going to take place tonight. I celebrate the people that are saying yes to you. And God, I pray you just do a major, significant, significant work in their life, God, and we celebrate that. So, Father, we just pray that the Holy Spirit, you just fill this room with your presence, fill this room with just the love of Jesus, with the glory of the Father, and just manifest and move and just burn in each of our lives, that we would be men and women on fire. And, Lord, I just pray right now for our community. Lord, we were declaring things over the high school. I feel like things that you've shown me, and we just begin to declare stuff over our schools for this coming year, and we're just believing tremendous, tremendous things in all of our local high schools, not just Bremen and Harrelson County, but Father Carrollton and the schools in Paulding County and all. We just begin to pray for a release of heaven into the schools, that there would just be a boldness and an on fire for the students and the faculty and administration, God, that they would just they would just let kingdom just flow through them, Father. And so we just declare just greatness for this 2017 school year, Father. So excited about that. And Lord, we just celebrate you in that. And Lord, I just pray on a broader scale and spectrum as you just begin to stir in me, Father, this afternoon as far as just the global cry. The global cry for significance, the global cry for a father, the global cry for a cause, more than just an identification with that. But God, that the king would be enthroned. And I just pray for release, Holy Spirit, on a global scale. Just begin to release yourself in pockets everywhere. You know, I celebrate the stories that I hear coming out of Iraq and different things like that. And I just celebrate that. And I thank you for that, God. And I pray that there would just be a global release. I pray that there would just be a moving, Father, and just let revival just begin to spread. I pray for Jeff and Whitney as they're in the Philippines right now, God. Just use them and speak through them, Father. Down in Mindanao, Father, I just pray a release of the Holy Spirit into that region, God. Do a tremendous, mighty, amazing work. I just pray a release in Dubai right now, and the team that's already over there, the Acts team that's over there, and Grant going and joining them in a few months. And we just pray that that region would just be captivated by your presence and a revival that would begin to spread among the Muslim nations, Father. And that you would be enthroned, God. And Lord, we see all the chaos that's going on in the earth, but that's the earth just crying out for something that's real. That's an earth crying out for you to be on the throne. And I believe that we are in just such a great time of opportunity right now, Father. A great time as the world looks for answers. And they're not finding it in the normal systems. They're not finding it in the political systems. They're not finding it in the economic answers. And I believe that this is opening a door and preparing a way for you to come in and for people to latch on to you and to receive you and to marry themselves to you, Father. And Lord, we just pray and we believe that. We thank you for that, Father. Father, use us as vessels, use us as instruments. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen and amen. Yes. Y'all can be seated. Instead of viewing the stuff that's going on, I don't know how much you guys pay attention to things, but the whole Brexit thing that's going on with Britain leaving the European Union and all of that stuff. And how that country is divided right now. I look at our country and its election year, and I see how polarized. I feel like it's more polarized right now than it's ever been. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't give you a nickel for either side. I think both of them are an utter failure in a system that we have out there right now. But here's the positive thing on this, church. As you look at the chaos that's going on, as you look at these things, the failures, people are looking into the world economic systems and it's failing them. They're looking into the world political systems and it's failing them. They're looking into the world religious systems and it's failing them. And what that will do is that's causing people to look for something real and to look for something genuine, all right? And so that is opportunity for us to release a real God, a real relationship with Jesus Christ that's going going to come in and give them something that they've never experienced before. And that's what I really see in this. You know, I look and boy, Britain's just tore up because, you know, half of them are 52% wanted to get out of the European Union and community and all that stuff. 48% didn't, you know, and everything's just going on crazy over there. And, you know, the global, the pound, you know, crashed and the market was off and all of that. And people that have looked into all of these institutions for answers are seeing that the institutions are failing them. And so that is opportunity for us to show them something that is greater than an institution, something that is truly real. And so that's why I'm really, really excited. Because with all of this failure that's going on, people are going to turn and say, man, I want the real thing. And so we've just got to be so full of God that we say, here it is. I've got the answer, and I know the person. I know a man. Let me tell you about a man. And we can release Christ into it. So be excited for what's going on, guys. Be excited for what's going on. I'm pumped about it. I really am. Let's talk about baptism for a few minutes, and then we're going to have a baptism service. In your mind, go to Jesus' baptism. Y'all remember the story of Jesus' baptism. John's out baptizing in the wilderness, and he's baptizing a baptism of repentance. And Jesus goes out there, and John, he knows who Jesus is. He's his cousin, but he knows he's the Messiah at this point in his life. He gets a little confused later on and doesn't necessarily finish well. But at this point, he is dialed into who Jesus is. And Jesus comes to him, and he says, I need to be baptized. And John's like, dude, I ain't worthy to baptize you. He said, I need to be baptized of you, Jesus. And Jesus told him, he said, suffer it to be so. And so Jesus comes in and he yields and he submits and he allows John to baptize him. We know the story when he got baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him and he remained. That's the thing, is he remained. Okay? That's the key on this. When Jesus got baptized, the Holy Spirit remained. And the Lord told him, said, the Messiah is the one that when you see the Holy Spirit come on, he's going to remain. All right, Bill Johnson talks about this and does great teaching on this. But he comes in and gets baptized. And I began to think about Jesus' baptism and what all was it saying. It was more than a symbolic act. Okay? Get past the thing that you think that baptism is just a symbolic act. It's something we do. Okay? Baptism was Jesus' yes to the Father. It was his yes to everything. It was his yes that I came from heaven, but I'm going to get in a muddy Jordan River and I'm going to be baptized by a man that I know is flawed, even though he was a great man. The Word says there wasn't a greater man born than John the Baptist. Doesn't mean he was sin-free. I simply think that means that he was born in an opportunity when he could see both sides of the covenant. And he was the only man that was born into a place where he could declare, here is the kingdom. Everybody else said, the kingdom is coming. But you want to see something significant when you can step in and say, the kingdom is here. That's the message we have today, church. Our message is not revival's about to happen. Our message is not God's going to make things right and square things. Our message is God's moving right now. God is here. You remember when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, and she said, well, our fathers say when Messiah comes and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, talking about it's always something's about to happen. And how many of y'all been hearing that your whole life? You know, some of us that were raised in an escape mentality church, we've been hearing Jesus was coming soon our whole life, okay? You know, I'm not fixated on that whatsoever. I'm going to assume Jesus is here right now, all right? He's here right now. Now, when the rapture is going to take place, I don't know. I ain't worried about it because if it happens in my lifetime, great. If it's 1,000 years from now, great. But anyway, Jesus came in and he said, I'm he. He said, the kingdom's here. The Messiah's here. If you knew what was standing in front of you, you'd be asking me for water because you'd be asking me for the water that would never thirst again. And so he said, it's here and it's now and all of that. And that was the significance of John the Baptist, was John was able to declare a message that the kingdom is right here and it's right now. That's the opportunity and the day and the moment that we live in right now, guys. That's what God, so many of you guys, man, God, you got the opportunity that God's wanting to blow up in my life right now. God's wanting to do something significant in me right now. God's wanting to do something significant in the earth right now. God is stirring people. I hear testimonies of stuff, not stuff that... I love the old stories of what happened in the healing revivals in the 50s. But you know what I really love? The stories of what God's doing right now. I love hearing about what Paul Cain did in 1958. But you know what I like better? I like better standing on the second row of a church service and a girl right in front of me that I knew 3 months ago, she had a tennis ball tumor on her neck, and the day that I'm standing behind her and worshiping, and she's worshiping right in front of me, and there's not any tumor right there. That's the better story to me. I love the story of blind Bartimaeus, but I like that story better because it's happening right now. Amen. So we live in a day and we live in a time where God is moving and God is stirring, and you know what it's predicated on? It is predicated on our yes. It's predicated on our yes. Jesus' baptism was His yes to God. It was His yes to the Father that whatever you want to do, whatever you want to stir and move and say and move in me and through me, I say yes to that. That's what His baptism was. It wasn't just an identification with the Father, all right? This was I am baptized in Him. And that's where I want to get to in the baptism in a minute, guys, is we're not, baptism is not an identification with God. We are being baptized into Christ. If I had time tonight and I could teach out of Romans chapter 6, he talks about in Romans 6, the Apostle Paul says that if we are buried in Christ and not just identified in His burial, but if we are buried with Him, then we are also risen with Him. So my sins are buried in Him, or with Him, and put under Him, but then that resurrection life that He walked in, I am walking in that now. Because of this, I'm in Him. Not just identified with Him. I'm about to show you something that God just totally, absolutely rocked my world with tonight. But I believe that this was Jesus. I know this was Jesus' yes to the Father. Is that God, whatever you want to do? Jesus came in and He said, I only do what I've seen my Father do. I only say what I've heard my Father say. So He said, I'm sitting here and whatever Daddy's modeling in front of me, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever Daddy gives me permission to do and releases in me to do, I'll do it. If that means that I minister to a Syrophoenician woman when I'm not supposed to be doing this to the Gentiles yet, but the Father gives me the nod, then I say yes to that, God. When a prostitute comes or a former prostitute comes and she falls at my feet and she begins to worship me and wash my, you know, that would be awkward for most of us, wouldn't it? You know, it's a little bit awkward when we get our foot washed by one of the deacons. But can you imagine a commonly known prostitute coming in and you're not just a big dog preacher or the rabbi, but you're the Son of God. And she comes and begins to lavish on you and worship you. And you know what the Father said? Jesus didn't finish about it because the Father says, I dig this. And so Jesus' yes in baptism was a yes to whatever. I was talking to the brother that was here the other day, Scott Kemp, and we went out late Saturday night and had a real good couple hours. We went to Gabe's and just sit around and closed the place down at 11 o'clock and came back and everything. And I said, we were talking about our testimony is very similar, you know, that he pastored Baptist Church and God started doing all these things in him, baptism of the Holy Spirit and all of this stuff, and God called him out and everything. And we were talking and he said, you and your wife have not resisted the move of God, have you? And I said, that is one thing that has been our greatest attribute, is when God started moving and God started stirring, we did not shrink back from it. Because in the mid-80s, it looked like praise and worship. There wasn't such a thing as praise and worship the way we know it until the mid-80s. But when God started doing that, we said yes to that. Got in trouble because you ain't supposed to bring drums in a church and all of that stuff. We said yes to that. When God started doing all of these other things, we said yes to that. Because something in our spirit, it felt right because it was the Holy Spirit and the peace and all that. So we said yes to those things. So when you come in with this baptism, you're saying yes to God. You're not just identifying yourself. It's not, man, I got baptized and everybody knows I'm a Christian now because they saw me get baptized. You're saying yes to Him and all that entails. When you said yes to Stephanie, how long has it been now? 4 years. Good job. When you said yes to Stephanie 4 years ago, you didn't know what all that entailed, did you? You thought you knew, because y'all been dating, been together for a while. You thought you knew, but you really didn't know until you came into this new covenant of marriage and all of that stuff. But you were still okay with it because you said yes to her. And you said, you know, I don't think there's a thing, or I hadn't sensed it where it's crawfish. And Jacob's like, man, I said yes 4 years ago, but I just don't know about this. I kind of bit off more than I could chew and all this and all that. So when you said yes, you said, okay, yeah, whatever. Whatever. You didn't get the blueprint. God didn't give you the blueprint for her. You know, you didn't get the owner's manual, did you? There's no such thing. But you know what? But you just simply said yes to this. And that's cool, but that's a certain level. And here's where I want to go with this, is we come in and we say yes to the Lord in baptism. I have always likened this to a wedding ceremony. I've always likened baptism to a wedding ceremony. And this afternoon, God told me, He said, it's much deeper than that. Because what can you do in a wedding ceremony? Or after a wedding ceremony? In a marriage, what can you do? You can divorce yourself from it. Not knocking anybody, but some of you guys have been married more than once. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. Life happens, stuff happens, and all that stuff. You know, I'm going to look at TW, you haven't been divorced. But you can divorce yourself from that. You can. When you come in to a marriage relationship with somebody, and this level of identification, and even this level of yes, you can divorce yourself from that. And God told me, He said, baptism in Him is something that you cannot divorce yourself from. All right? When you're baptized into a church, you can divorce yourself from that. If I baptize myself into a church, it's all good as long as I like the preacher and the deacons make the right decisions and they got the right praise and worship leader. Or she, heaven forbid, she picked the wrong songs one Sunday because that's not my jam and all of that stuff. You can divorce yourself from that. But you know what? There's something that you cannot divorce yourself from. When you start producing children out of something. You're tough and we're tight, so I'm going to run here with this. Can I go for it? Thank you. You've got a daughter named Jessica. You will always be tethered to her father because y'all produced a child together. You're not in covenant relationship with him. You're covenant relationship with G. But for all eternity, you guys are tethered together through Jessica. You have the same daughter. When she starts having beautiful babies, you're going to have the same grandchildren. All right? Isn't that what we tell people all the time? You know, when people get divorced and they've got kids and all of that, you know, it's like, I don't care how bad you dislike your ex-husband, all right, but he is the father of your kids, so y'all are going to be, you know, there's going to be events in life that you're always going to be tethered to. And when God told me this afternoon, when we get baptized into Christ, I'm not talking about get baptized into a church. It's easy to divorce yourself from Victory Fellowship. It's easy to divorce yourself from Sid Garner. But when you truly get baptized into Christ, that will tether you to Him for all eternity. I know a guy right now, me and Jeremy were just talking about it right before church when I was kind of throwing some of this. We were lobbing each other. We were throwing hand grenades on each other, stuff God showed us today. And we're talking. I know a guy right now, and he's got, he got tethered to Christ. God did a significant, he is not serving God right now. He is not in church right now. He is not happy in life right now. But you know what? He got tethered to God one time because God did some significant stuff and he got baptized into Christ, and this cat is always going to be tethered to Christ. He'll always be tethered to Christ. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Always be tethered to Christ because he got baptized into Christ, not into a church. Not into a move of God, but he got baptized into Christ. And God marked him. And God gave him a limp out of that stuff. And so that is what this is right here. It's not, man, I'm digging what God's doing at Victory Fellowship and I like Sid and he's cool and so, you know, yay God, let's do this thing. This is the thing where I come in with God and I say, God, I'm wanting to go deeper than let's just get married. I'm wanting to produce something with you. And when you take that plunge and you take that next step and you come in and you say, you know what, we're going to produce something together, then all of a sudden you're tethered for life with that thing. It carries you into a deep place in this thing. I'll get back over here with Jacob and Stephanie because they're getting baptized tonight. When y'all decided that y'all wanted a child, it took you. When you decided that you wanted to get married, it took your relationship from this level to this level, didn't it? It was a big decision for you. I remember sitting down with you guys and, you know, sitting on the deck at the pub in Carrollton, and we were sitting out on the deck and we were talking and talking about marriage and you know, just I was trying to pour into you guys and all that stuff. And that was a big commitment for you guys to come in and say, you know what, we want to join ourselves together and we want to say yes in this marriage thing. But now there was another level of thought going into, we want to start raising a family together, wasn't there? Didn't that take you into a deeper level of covenant with her? Didn't that take you into a deeper level of commitment to her? That now, not only are we connected together, but we're producing something together. And this thing that we are producing together is going to tether us for life. I'm not even going to speak it. I'm declaring nothing but blessings and joy and just flourishing over you guys and y'all's marriage and all of that stuff. But if the wheels ran off the bus today and it was upside down in a ditch, y'all are still tethered together because y'all produce something together. You've got a child together. Right? Amen? Y'all understand what I'm talking about on this? Everybody in here getting what I'm talking about on this? Some of you guys maybe don't have kids yet. It's kind of like, okay, I kind of see what you're talking about, but I don't. Micah, you getting what I'm talking about on this? She could get to a place where she just absolutely says, man, I don't want nothing to do with him. He is just a jerk, man. He's just turned into not the man I married and all that stuff. But you know what? We're still tethered together because we've got the same children and we've got the same grandchildren. Because when you produce something, it connects you in a level beyond just the fact that I'm going through a ceremony or even a season. Hear me? I can't tell you. I've been in ministry for 20-something years. I cannot tell you the number of Christians I've seen that have had a good season, come in, get saved, serve God for a season, and they're gone. But when I see people that come into a place with Christ and they say, you know what? I say yes to everything, whatever that looks like. I say yes to that. That's what Jesus did with the Father. Father, what are we going to produce in this? I'm going to go greater than producing a nation. I'm going to produce a bride. I can produce a nation out of Abraham, but you know what I can't produce out of Abraham? I can't produce a bride through sons and daughters. And so you know what we're going to do? We're going to produce disciples, and we're going to produce a church, and we're going to release kingdom into the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what Jesus did. And he and the Father came together, and the Holy Spirit blended in this thing. And they said, we're going to produce something, and we are tethered. We are tethered to this thing that we've produced. We are tethered to the bride. God can't forsake his bride because he's tethered to his bride. Because it's something that's produced out of blood. It's produced out of blood. It's produced out of the Spirit. If we didn't have children in here, I would give you an illustration that the Lord showed me about a woman in the matrix and how it's on birth, it's burst from the inside and not from the outside. That's the kingdoms when something's burst from the inside and not the outside. It's not a penetration from the outside. But it's, see, that's Mary's the only woman that... You think about that. When it's of the Spirit, it's not something that I can come in and I can penetrate on you. But it is something that is ruptured and then that comes out because it's a Spirit thing. And when that happens, then it's tethered. You're weren't for everything else. Melinda Reese, you are weren't for everything else. Because you've tasted and you've seen and you've known and you've walked in it and you've experienced it and you've produced fruit in it. And you are weren't for everything else. You try to walk away from God and the calling in your life and kingdom in you and Matt and your family, and I don't care how rich you get or what great things might happen in your life, you'd be the most miserable person on the planet because you're ruined for everything else. You know why? Because you're tethered to God because what you have in Him, because He's produced something with you, in you, and through you. That's what baptism is. That's what baptism is. That's what real baptism is. I got baptized when I was a kid and I was about 10 years old. You know what I did? I got baptized into the church. I got baptized into Corinth Baptist Church. In my own level and in my own way, I loved God because I knew God was good and I was supposed to love God. My parents loved God. Kind of like I know some people that are Democrats because their mom and daddy and their granddaddy and everybody else is a Democrat. I know some people that are Republicans because my family, six generations, has been Republican. Stupidest reason in the world. I hope and pray that my children and my grandchildren are in Victory Fellowship, not because their daddy is the pastor, but because the Holy Spirit abides here. So I got baptized into Corinth Baptist Church when I was a 10-year-old kid. But that didn't produce it. That was just a marrying myself to the church. All right? But now when I was in my mid-20s, and I got arrested by the Lord, He overtook me. And I had already tried to straighten up, and I had straightened up. I got serious about Lord, and I quit doing stupid stuff for the most part. We've all got a stupid gene that raises up in us every once in a while. But for the most part, I had. And I was going to church, and we were just a good little happy little couple and all that stuff. But God was doggedly pursuing me. And so one day, He body slammed me. I mean, absolutely body slammed me in the middle of a nothing special Sunday morning service. I couldn't wait for the preacher to shut up, kind of like some of you are, to shut up so I can get into baptism. Couldn't wait for the preacher to shut up so I could get down an altar and accept Jesus. You know, I was doing it in my heart right there. And so when I did that, I got baptized that day. Luckily, they were having baptism service that day. Didn't have any clothes or anything. I'm like, dude, I'm getting baptized. And so I got baptized that day. Wade Williams run home and got some shorts from his. He lived about a half mile from the church. I said, dude, go get me some clothes. I don't care if I'm getting baptized in my underwear. I'm getting baptized. But I got baptized, and it was different than when I got baptized when I was a kid and got baptized into the church. Because all of a sudden, I got baptized into Christ. Since then, I have had other significant baptisms in my life. I've been dunked 4 or 5 times in my life. Every one of them was extremely significant. Religion will tell you once is enough. Because religion wants you to get baptized into them and nothing else. Well, you got baptized into Corinth Baptist Church, and that's good enough. That's got our seal on you. It's never good enough. I've had just a couple of the very significant ones in my life. Obviously, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not a water thing, but I have seen people get baptized in here and get baptized in the Holy Spirit as they got baptized in here. I have seen that on many occasions. That was a significant. You know, the Word talks about the doctrine of baptisms. All right. When I've got baptized in a river in Alabama, that was a baptism of the cross. And that was stuff dying in me, and it was a significant thing. But you know what it was doing? It was the thing where I said yes to God, let's do something, let's produce something. I said yes to let's make a baby. Putting it in our crude terms. I said, let's have another one. Let's have another one. And not intending anything for you guys. You know, we give Leah and Brett a hard time. Like, y'all got 3. You better do it. It's going to be 4 going to be on the way. Or, you know, it's going to keep going and everything. But that's what that was. The nature of a passionate love affair, listen to me on this. The nature of a passionate love affair is to reproduce stuff. That's why we tell them, if one of y'all doesn't go get fixed, you know what will inevitably happen? She's going to get pregnant again. That's inevitable because y'all have a passionate love affair. The inevitable thing with me and Christ is I have a passionate love affair and I experience. McCall did not have any children out of David because she was cut off from intimacy. But as long as intimacy is there, you know what's going to happen? You're going to keep getting baptized into Christ. And as you get baptized into Christ, it's going to produce stuff. You're going to keep making babies with Jesus. We'll just be real crude. Because as long as there's intimacy, then you're going to get pregnant. You're going to produce stuff. All right? When you get baptized in the church, we'll clone you, but you won't produce anything. We will clone you, but you won't produce anything. But when you get baptized into Christ. Into Christ. One of mine was a baptism of love. Whew. Good golly. I think that one was right up here. You know what it did? It produced something in me. It produced something. In the natural, you couldn't melt me and pour me into a pastor position. It ain't worth the aggravation unless you love people. But when you love people and God connects your heart with a Brandon, and God connects your heart with an Oding family, and God connects your heart with a Cindy, and God connects your heart with these, and God connects your heart with Blake House guys that turn over every 10 months, but God still connects your heart. You know what produces that? Baptism of love. Baptism of love. That's what, in order for Grant to produce fruit in Dubai, he's got to have a baptism of love in his life so that he begins to birth things among the Muslim nation. Most Americans see Muslims as the biggest problem on the face of the planet. And our mindset is, kill them all, let God sort them out. We don't say that, but that's an underlying tone. Amen? If you go to Dubai out of a sense of duty and say, well, I'm going to go reach these infidels, then you're going to be just like Jonah. That did not like the Assyrians. He did not like Nineveh. And he said, God, I'll go if I have to. And God said, you need to change your attitude. You need to check yourself, son. You know what you need? You need to be rebaptized into me. Not identified with me. You can get on a plane and go over there and you can say, here I am. I'm a Christian. Let me tell y'all about Jesus. But when you come in and there's a baptism of love into Christ, you know what happens? Then you start loving the Muslims. I had a real prejudice toward Los Angeles. I did not like Los Angeles. We'd been out on several occasions with Errol when she was doing travel ball and college ball. We'd go to tournaments out there. I did not. You could not. You barely pay me and get me to even go to L.A. And God's done something. And, man, I love that place now. I love the potential in that place. I walk in that city and my heart is light and my heart is stirred because of the city. I love the confluence of the African American and the Hispanic and the Caucasian mix in that city. I love the fact that all of the trends in our country start in Los Angeles and they head eastward. Everything starts in California and comes this way because when I see God pouring His Spirit out on Los Angeles and pouring His Spirit out on California, you know what I know it is? It's a headwater that's going to flow into the rest of the world. And only when you and God, you get baptized into Him, and He makes that baby, without that ain't going to happen. Because we're still going to have our redneck southern prejudice where it's like, hey, a bunch of doggone liberals with skinny jeans that, you know, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you fill in the blanks. Come on. I mean, you can hear my drawl until that's where. But good golly, when the Lord starts birthing something in you, when you and Him start making babies, you'll love that thing that He's birthing in you. I've never seen a right parent that births their child that child comes forth and they're not bursting with pride. And I've had mamas and daddies come up to me and they'll sell me their baby, and that baby was just ugly, and they just beaming about how beautiful that baby is. My wife's going to get me on that. Don't tell me you hadn't ever seen a baby that wasn't a pretty... I mean, all babies ain't pretty babies. Come on. But to their parents, they are. To their parents, they're gorgeous. To their parents, they're like, woo! And the world may look... Listen to me, this is important. The world may look at what God, you and God are birthing together, and the world may be like, ooh! But when that thing grows, because I have seen some babies that were not pretty babies that turned into beautiful people. Any of y'all ever done that? Seen that? Y'all have? Y'all seen some and you're like, whoo, son. And 5 years later, you're like, whoa. Where did that come from? And I'm going to go ahead and prophetically speak that you and God are going to make some babies together, and the world's going to look at it, and the world's not going to understand it, and the world's not going to see beauty in it, but that thing is going to produce such an amazing fruit and such an amazing expression of heaven that they're going to be blown away by that thing. Because that baby that the world don't understand is going to express the kingdom. And all the things that they think are beautiful, all the things that they think are beautiful are letting them down right now. The financial institutions are letting them down right now. The stability. You know why the European Union was brought together after World War II? It was brought together to bring stability. That's why they established that thing. And now you look at it and it's like, we can't trust in this. All of the babies that the world is producing, has produced, is letting everybody down. Because it's all built on sand. But this thing that you and God, when you're baptized in Him, this thing that y'all produce, to start with, it may be misunderstood. It may not be embraced. That church service that Lori and I went to on the 17th, and Aaliyah and Errol and Jeff and Whitney, they were there. It was we went up there up in South Carolina, and 4 hours. She had four kids. Boy, I was worshiping my brains out. She had four kids. I helped the first hour, but after that, I'm gone. I'm in here. I did. They were between me, kind of bouncing back and forth and picking Z up and all that. But anyway, 3 hours of preaching. 3 hours of preaching. That is a baby that the world does not look good to the world and does not look good to the church. Until you get a tumor on your neck the size of a tennis ball. And then all of a sudden it starts looking pretty good to you. Because what looked good to you, this slick little, couldn't remove your tumor, couldn't change your life, couldn't save your marriage, couldn't bring you peace, hope, joy, and love. So now all of a sudden this thing that God produced with somebody that got baptized into Him, now all of a sudden it looks appealing to the world. Some of these guys think you done lost it because you done went from being in a bike gang to being an elder in a church. What's happened to Gordon Floyd? Shaking his head. I bet there's some boys in Okeechobee right now. If you went back, they'd shake his head and say, man, he done went off a deep. I don't need none of that stuff. Yeah, you don't need none of that stuff until all of a sudden all the babies that you have produced with the world are so illegitimate that they can't do anything to change your life. So you start looking for something that penetrated from the inside instead of penetrated from the outside. Amen? So what's going to change the school? So what's going to change the fire department? So what's going to change our communities? So what's going to change our homes? It's when we sow, get baptized into Christ, that we start producing stuff. So here's my message tonight. I really thought this was going to be about 15 minutes and then baptized. And I promise I'm done. We're about to get wet. Here's where I'm going with this. I don't know why that made you feel better, me closing my Bible. I didn't read anything out of it anyway. Michael, will you move this for me, brother? Thank you. Here's where all this is coming in at. So much of your life and so much of your time maybe here at Victory Fellowship, you've heard us talk about Mary Christ, Mary Christ, Mary Christ. And yes, that's where it starts at. But you know what the message to the church is right now? Let's start making babies. Let's start producing something. Start getting baptized in me. Because baptism in me is what produces stuff. That's what births stuff. That's what births these things. So, how many of y'all remember, you guys that are married in here with kids, how many of y'all remember when you got married, you said, we just got married, and we're not going to have kids yet. We're going to wait a few years so we can kind of get used to each other and get used to married life and all of that. Any of y'all made that statement? That's not a dumb statement, okay? That's not a crazy statement. But here's the thing. A lot of us have been married to Christ for 15 years, for 20 years, and we're still not making babies. That's not natural, is it? Because nothing's getting reproduced that's going to take our place in this great cloud of witnesses. You know whose place I took? Peter's place. You know whose place you took? Mary's place. You know whose place you took? John's place. You know who place you took? The Apostle Paul's place. And you know why we were able to stand and take the place of these people and declare the message of the kingdom and be the sons and the daughters of the Most High God and the bride of Christ is because they got baptized into Him and made babies. So if you want that, take that leap to the next plunge. I mean, to the next level. Go past just the thing of, some of you in here and you're just dating God. Y'all are testing the waters. Some of you in here and y'all cohabiting with God. You're testing, see if this thing's going to work out. And then you say, okay, I think it's going to work out, so I'm going to connect myself to Victory Fellowship Church. I don't want you to connect yourself to Victory Fellowship Church because Victory Fellowship Church will inevitably disappoint you and let you down. But when you're baptized into Christ, that's when you start producing things. That's when you start birthing things. And that's what God wants. He said, unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground, die and fall into the ground, it can reproduce nothing. But when it does, when you come in and you die and you fall into the ground, when you go in here and you die and you fall into the ground and you come out, you know what happens? Produces stuff. It produces stuff. So, with that being said, all right, amen. Y'all stand on your feet. Here's what we're going to do. James, will you come on up and get on the guitar, brother, and just begin to lead us in some worship? If you're in here and what I've said tonight, if you plan on getting baptized tonight and what I said tonight, you're like, whoa, wait a minute, hey, I ain't ready for all of that stuff. Don't get baptized tonight. Don't get, if you're like, man, that scares the mess of me and I just want to get, I ain't ready for then don't get, because the baptism tonight, that's what it's about. You can get baptized at a later date, and that'll be awesome, and you can get married with Christ and all that stuff. But I promise you, this water tonight, when we come in and we baptize tonight, this is the thing that's going to make babies in your life. Because you're getting baptized into Him. Into Him. And you are going to be forever tethered to Him. If you ever get disillusioned with Victory Fellowship, or ever get disillusioned with me or anything like that, and you quit serving God and all that stuff, you won't have to worry about Sid hunting you down and being like, Jacob. Because you know who will? The Holy Spirit. And you know why? Because tonight you're tethering yourself to Him. More so than a marriage ceremony. But God, we're producing something. And I am forever connected to You. One day you're going to be like me, and you're going to be a grandmama, and she's still going to be your little girl, because you're always tethered to her. It's because you produce something that came out of your womb. And when you are baptized into Christ, it produces something. And that's way deeper than getting baptized in this church. We love y'all and we're glad y'all are part of this church. But there's something way deeper and way bigger at work right here. And that's kingdom, and that's God saying, I want us to produce something great. To produce something great. To produce the same thing you feel when you walk in the doors at my house. People say, I love going to Jacob and Stephanie's, because it feels just like when we're doing praise and worship at church. Because the presence of God is here. When your parents come over and they walk in and they just feel an amazing peace, an amazing love, an amazing hope. And you know what that is? That's because you and God produced something. Y'all made a baby together. That's what that is. So I'm going to ask all the guys that want to get baptized, y'all go ahead and hit the side room. All the guys that's getting baptized. Any girls that's getting baptized, y'all come over here on this side. Y'all come on down. Come on down.